his specialty to attendees in the hopes of earning their vote for the best dish. Other activities include music and dancing with DJ Pat Gallagher and a basket raffle that benefits the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Guests are also encouraged to bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the food bank. Tickets for this BYOB event are just $20. Complete details and tickets are available at butlerradio.com.
That's our report of the noon news for this Wednesday, January 24th.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
I always laugh at the special guest host part when it's me. You know, it's just it's one of those, I've talked to you this morning at 11, and I talked to you again at 12, and then I feel like I should be somebody else. I don't know. It's just, I'm Tracy Morgan in with Dave Malarkey. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. So here we are another day. I'm glad to be here. Glad you're with us as well. And as always, I always like to open the show with the same explanation, just because, just in case you haven't been with us and it's your first day back. Dave's just not here. He had a brief illness, and we told him, hey, that's fine. Go sleep in. And so he's doing that for a few days, and when he is feeling better, he will be back here, and he will be back on his show. So that's what we got for you. 12:32, it's 30 degrees, and I said yesterday, and Pat looked at me yesterday and just smiled and shook his head, but it is the truth. I still have my Christmas tree on my porch. I do. What are you going to do? Well, I'll talk about that here in a second with Kayla. Kayla's in here, our news director. Let me give you the show lineup first. So Kayla and I are going to sit and chat. Yay, women.
Yay.
We're going to sit and chat for a half hour. And if you'd like to call, you're more than welcome to join our little women's group, right? And then we're going to talk to St. Andrews at 1 o'clock. They have their chili cook-off this weekend, so we're going to talk about that. Who doesn't like to talk about food? I know. So we're going to talk about the chili cook-off. And then at 1:30, we're going to talk to Star Hill Winery, and we'll talk to them for a good half hour. Again, our wine festival is on Saturday. It's our 12th annual one, so we'll give you details about all of that as we go along. If you haven't heard about it, it is Saturday, two different sessions, butlerradio.com or WISR680.com. That's where you can get details if you can't wait until we get through the next couple of segments. So that's our show today. So, Miss Kayla Molzan.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
I love it that you're in. Nothing against Tyler. Tyler was in a couple days ago. I don't know if I sounded as excited when he was
like,
in.
Oh, Tyler's here. Kayla.
Yay! It's Kayla.
I'll take it.
Oh, Kayla's been up since the crack of dawn, even before. So this is what happens. And our coworker, Jay, gets a kick out of this yearly story. And he asks me every year about the Christmas tree, mm-hmm. because we consider it a tree chucking. That's what we call it.
Interesting.
Okay, so this is what we do, where the tree sits in our house at Christmas, mm-hmm. is, we'll just say the front of the house.
Okay.
We bring it in when it's all tied up. Okay. We do a live
this
tree.
This is a real tree.
Real tree. We go out, do the whole chopping down thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we bring it in when it's tied up through the back of the house, where it's level.
Okay.
Bring it to the inside, unveil it, blah, 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 stays there for a month, whatever. But when it's done, we do have French doors that are right beside the tree. So now you have a wide open tree.
Okay.
Might as well go through the front door, or the French doors, I should say, right? And over the porch of the front part of our house, because then where we would go to take care of it after that is in the front part of the house.
No.
So why drag a tree outside in the back? Now the limbs are all open, mm-hmm. and pine needles are going to go even further through the house. So this year we're late. what's my phone say? January 24th.
Okay.
We did, and I was a little late in getting it up, and I'm big on wanting the tree up for about a month. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, you do all that work.
Yeah. This year I just wasn't in a hurry, so it was fine. So I finally got the tree down, and we did finally put it on the porch 2 weeks ago.
So it's out of the house.
It is out of the house, so I don't have to clean needles up.
It's just on the porch. You haven't chucked it yet.
Correct.
Okay.
So the chucking of the tree.
Is there a chucking ceremony that will be happening this weekend, and can I get a ticket?
You can video it if you want. There's no real
What's
ceremony
the admission
to it?
Price?
Bring us dinner or something. I don't know. But yeah, there's no real ceremony to it. But we all do a little countdown. And then we just plop the tree over the edge of the railing. We make sure everyone's safe and out of the way and things like that. And we're all there so that it's adult supervised. And it just falls over the
tree. I love that. I love families' specific little traditions they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your kids probably love it, and they'll grow up to be adults and be like, we used to chuck this tree. That's so cool.
And this may be the year that they tell their friends, we chucked it in like March. It was great and warm. Because I think what happened in the past couple of weeks, it got so cold, it froze to the porch. Oh,
I bet it did.
And now
you guys didn't even want to walk out to chuck it because
no.
I don't want to go outside.
Yeah, and now my dogs are out there sniffing around, so I'm wondering if now there's a critter that's taken up a home, and so we've got to check for that and not, try to interrupt that as much as possible. But yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't chuck it on Monday when it was 60 degrees.
We almost did.
That would have been a good day.
Yeah, I can't remember what we were doing because we all thought that. Many times in the day.
And just never got to it.
We just never got to it. So the tree is still on the porch.
It's interesting. My husband was always the person that January 1st rolls around and mm-hmm. it's like, let's get the tree out of here. And we do not have a live tree. We do the artificial. I grew up with a live, ended up doing an artificial, and I do like it. I miss the smell. I don't miss the extra cleanup. It's one of those two things. So, but I hated it because January 1st, I still want to soak it in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just didn't like that all of a sudden January 1st was here and we had to erase the holidays already. So I got him back to like the 7th or 8th. That's as far as he can go. And then we put it away. But I wonder if people let it linger a little bit. I was in St. Louis over the weekend and the city itself still had their Christmas tree up. I thought it felt a little weird. It felt a little weird. And even we were walking through a park, and this is right by the Arch, right in downtown St. Louis, and they still had Christmas carols playing.
In mid-January.
I mean, I was there just this past weekend, the 19th and 20th. So that's interesting. How long do you wait?
Technically, I mean, it's a Christian holiday, right? I mean, you got all of that. I'm Christian. I know you go to church as well. So if it's based around that, technically – There's some calendar. I couldn't tell you. I just know every time I go to church in January, the first and second week, we're still talking about wise men. And we're still talking about the whole process and the whole story and, what's in the Bible. So if you're going that route, then it's not over yet.
Right. Right. Which is true. I don't know if the city was following it. To me, it was like somebody change out the CD, like put in another CD because we're still hearing, jingle bells. And it was kind of felt a little strange.
Keep the tree, but change the CD. Oh, it could be a slogan. You could write to them. You could. That'd be great. But yeah, but it does look pretty. Now, are you a themed color, themed tree at all? Or
We do two. The one is just a red and green theme, just really simple. Mm-hmm. No specific ornaments or no personal ornaments.
Yeah.
And then we do one in another room with all the personal ornaments. My mom gave me some from when I was a kindergartner and we put it up. And I like that one. I like them both, but that one's fun because it's so personalized.
Yes. Yeah. I've got two trees this year. It was my first year I had two trees. Well, it was given to us. The fake tree was given to us. So I was able to do the color coordinating kind of thing.
Okay.
My Santa red, green, whatever.
Right, right.
And then my other one is a collection, but I like to have a blue accent to it.
Oh, okay.
And next year I told my husband, I said, it would look good on the porch. And he went, oh, no. He's shaking his head already. I don't know, the tree would look good right there. Maybe you could come inside, I'm just doing it because I love color-coded or color-themed trees. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got to have the tree that has all the family personalized ornaments.
Right, right. Do you have ornaments from your kids growing up? They made this in third grade,
Yes, and we're still only, we're at a young age.
Okay.
So, yeah, we still have a lot of those ornaments. But I still have some from when I was a kid.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then you hand it to your kids to put on the tree and it falls,
In a million pieces.
I've had that for
how
many?
I did have that.
Yeah, right?
For 40 years, not anymore.
It's out of here. So what are you going to do? But anyway, so I don't know why we're talking Christmas at the end of January, but my tree is still there. And I will update you whenever the tree gets chucked.
Soon to be
and
chucked.
And if Dave is back on his show, I'll have to tell him to
yes,
tell you that.
You'll call in.
I'll call in from my desk.
Hey, Dave.
With an update. Yeah, I got my tree chucked. All right, so other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't have the story in front of me, but I found it interesting because, and I say this with all due respect, there's nothing, you know, disrespectful in saying this, but we are different generations, mm-hmm. you know, and the story I read was about even a generation beyond us mm-hmm. in the way of self-automated cars. Okay, so there's somewhere in Florida, again, I don't have the details, so I can't even tell you where I got it, but I was reading it yesterday, where in Florida they were trying this out in a living community type of scenario, mm-hmm. where the self-driving cars would be used. And my question I was going to pose to anyone who wants to call, so if you want to call and join this conversation, I'd love to hear from you. You don't have to tell me your age, but I'm wondering, would you feel comfortable in a driverless car, an automated car? And there is another brand, man, I just came in here unprepared, but I'm remembering these stories that I read this week. This one was off the Associated Press, I do remember that. There is a company that is making or going to be making, says they're going to be making, cars without steering wheels and without the pedals.
Wow.
Now, that's not going to be coming out next year, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's what their goals and plans were. So I say no matter your age, because if you are of an older generation, is it a benefit? Because maybe you don't have your caretaker there that could come and mm-hmm. you could get out a mm-hmm. little more, so maybe mm-hmm. it is. Is it a little nerve-wracking to you because there's nobody sitting behind the wheel? And then I say if you're an older generation, but since you and I are of two different generations, I ask you the same question. You know, you're in millennial age, mm-hmm. That category. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, am I X or Y? I have no idea which one I am.
I think you're X.
Am I X? All right, I'm X. So I would not feel comfortable. I still, and I don't know if it's a control issue. I don't know if it's because computers can mess up. I don't.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's just strange, right? To get into a car, it'd be like a pod. If you have no steering wheel, no pedals, you're just sitting in there. I mean, do you sleep? If you're going on a long road trip, do you sleep? Do you take it? I mean, you don't have to be awake, right? If it's driving for you. But then on the other hand, how many accidents happen because of operator error?
True.
Error. Mm-hmm. Because of somebody, you know, speeding or somebody dozing off or somebody turning, they thought they had time and they didn't. So it would, in a sense, eliminate that. But I also agree with you when you say, I don't think the computers can sense everything that is going to happen, especially if you have these automobiles being rolled out that some are driverless and some aren't. Some are still traditional. So how do mm-hmm. they know? Like, if they were all driverless, then they'd all essentially just be computers and they could talk to each other. But what if there's driverless versus one that has a driver? How does that work? You know what I mean? How does the computer – we're human, so we could do a million different things. How do they calculate for that, if that makes sense?
I do, and I think a point to go along with what you're saying with a mix of driverless and drivers on the roadway – I don't think, I can't guarantee this, but could the, when you're in a car, like if you're coming at me in a sense oncoming in the other lane, mm-hmm. if I let you go because I'm waving at you, this nonverbal communication of please go with no fingers up, just to go, come on, let's go. You know, then you as the other human driver understand what I'm saying. Or if I give you a wave or, you know, something that is a nonverbal way to say something to you where
sure.
I can't talk to you.
Sure.
And so would these cars be able to do that? And then if they don't, does that mean that there would be more accidents or would there be sensors for the driverless cars to know to stop because all of a sudden I'm cutting you off?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a big problem. I do think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen mm-hmm. and I think it's going to happen sooner than we think. But yeah, it makes me nervous. It does make me nervous.
And then here's the thought too, that did they think this through? So if you're in the back seat, passenger seat, no driver in the car, and you're not paying attention because you're working on your wonderful news that you deliver every single day at 5 a.m. And your driverless car then all of a sudden puts on the brake because, I don't know, did a squirrel go in front of you? Did a deer go in front of you? Did I cut you off in traffic? Whatever it is. And your coffee goes all over your presentation, your sales pitch, whatever you're working on. Did they think that through?
That's interesting. This is sort of related. It just popped into my head. I heard of a lawsuit this morning. This is related to Waze, the navigation system that a lot of us use on our cell phones. We download the app and we punch in our directions and it takes us wherever it takes us. There's a driver that apparently ended up in a lake and he is now suing Waze because he ended up in a lake and that's where Waze told him to go. So whether obviously Waze was messed up or maybe there was a new road that wasn't added onto Waze's software yet. But the point is the driver ended up in the lake and he is suing the navigation company saying you're the reason I'm there. Even though he was driving the car, he drove into the lake. He's suing the navigation system.
Okay, so here's my new sense. And I'm not saying I'm for or against the man, but these are my questions that I would have immediately. Did he end up in the water? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because I'm wondering, the way that sounds, and again, we don't have the story in front of us. I believe that you read the story, is when people say things like that, not you, I mean that guy.
Sure.
That, you know, I ended up in the lake. I'm thinking, did you not see the water? Did you not see it there? Or was he upset that he got to a point that there was a lake in front of him and not his destination?
Sure, yeah.
And why is that a lawsuit? So there's two different ways I could go with that.
Right, right. But, I mean, think back. I'm sure there's a whole list of I call them stupid lawsuits where people sue and they're like, you're like, really? I mean, think about the McDonald's coffee. Remember, that was years ago. I think that was in the 90s where the woman sued McDonald's because she said, you gave me my coffee, it was too hot. And now on their cups, they have to put, this may be hot. I mean, to me, that sounds pretty, you know, it's going to be hot. It's a hot coffee, but she won that lawsuit.
So here's something from the Associated Press this morning, and this happened in South Carolina. This is Spartanburg, South Carolina. And apparently police say that a fast food, where I'll just say it's Taco Bell because it is. Okay. I mean, the picture's right there in the Associated Press. I'm not telling anything about, you know. So they say that the worker there was upset at having to work a morning shift. And, he slung a hot taco at his supervisor.
Oh.
I mean, talking about stories that you go, are you thinking that through?
Yeah. He probably doesn't have to work that morning shift anymore because he probably doesn't have a job. So in a sense, he solved his own problem. He's a problem solver.
He's a problem solver. Is that what he should put in his resume?
That's what I would put. I would turn that around in the next interview.
Lisa Gard from Specialized Staffing just left this building a couple of hours ago. I just need to call her up and see if we problem solver.
That is funny.
That is funny. So just odd stories.
Speaking of automation, I wanted to get your take on this. Just being different generations, like you said, the Amazon grocery store thing that came out this week.
Yes.
It's so funny. My first reaction, and this is if you didn't hear about it, you go in, you scan your phone, you have an app, so you scan it as you're walking in, and then once you're inside, you're just taking stuff off the shelves and putting them in your purse. It automatically charges you for it, and you leave.
Now, I don't know if this is the same store or is it a different store. Let me know what you think, but I heard there was an Amazon store. You have a scanner, though, and you go in, and as you pick up fried beans, whatever, then you scan it there and then you put it in a bag.
So this must be a different store.
Okay.
Because
okay.
it was an Amazon grocery store and you had to scan when you first walked into the place. But once you were inside, you just took things off the shelf and there was some kind of a scanner system there that once you removed it from the shelf and put it in your bag, it calculated that.
Okay.
And I had so many questions because I'm like, what if I pick something up, look at it, and I'm like, I don't really want it, and I put it back. Does it know I put it back? They're saying
it
does.
Yeah, it does. I don't know how.
I don't know either. And then another thought, you're taught as a young person, you can't ever take something in the store and put it in your purse. You know, that would be shoplifting. You're not.
Yes.
And now they're saying, take it up and put it in your purse and then just walk right out. So how weird is that going to feel?
That would feel weird. And as you're talking, I'm thinking that I'm probably wrong on the story that I'm talking about. I don't think is an Amazon store. I think it's a different grocery store. So there are different technologies that they're trying in the way that I think even what you're talking about with Amazon would feel even stranger than what the story is that I read, because if you go into a grocery store, you still have something to handle with the scanner.
Yes.
And you're still scanning.
Yes.
And then because in the story that I read, now that I'm reviewing it, it's they scan, put it in their bag, continue to do that through the store. Then when they go to the counter, they just say, here you go, that's my tab, here's my money. So it is
okay.
A bit different. As but Amazon, or not Amazon itself, but yeah, it would feel like I'm stealing.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
And they're in this grocery store, there is no counter at all, because you just scan when you come in, everything else is just in your purse, and then you just walk right out.
And so what happens then when you want to claim that you took things home that you didn't mean to take home? Is it a natural return?
They did say that they make it very easy for you to return, but they were talking about it from the standpoint if you got overcharged. Like if you got home and it's you looked and you said, I didn't get this, you could come back. But yeah, I don't know how the other way would work if you ended up with more than you were actually charged for. I don't know.
And I would think that they would have workers on hand, right?
Yes, they did. And they had people continuously walking around, because obviously a lot of people are like, wow, that takes a lot of jobs away. You know, you don't have anybody checking you out. You don't have any bag people, nothing like that. But they, being Amazon, said that it was just a transition of jobs. Instead of having somebody scanning your stuff, they would have people walking around the store helping you. Do you need help? Do you understand this? Stuff like that. So they said that no jobs would be lost.
Okay. That makes sense. It just gives people a different job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I'll tell you, honestly, this has happened. And I'll say it's in this area. I'm not going to say which store it is, because it's been different stores and it's happened at different times.
Mm-hmm.
That I will go into the store and let's say something's a percentage off or half off or whatever it is, or a buy one, get one type of deal type of thing. And there have been times where I've checked my receipt and either the buy one, get one deal didn't come off of that, or the percentage wasn't taken off of that, or it only rang up, it rang up three times, or, you know, something along those lines where it was a mistake. And I could go immediately back in and say, but this is what I have. And so they could take care of it right there. But how is that when, here's my point to this, when you already have everything bagged,
mm-hmm.
you have it all out in the car, do you have to bring it all back in?
Right. And because in a sense, your receipt, I mean, is it emailed to you? Because no one's handing it to you.
I
didn't go through a counter.
I
so there
know.
You go.
So we have someone on the line. Hi.
Hello, Tracy.
How are you?
Kayla.
Hello.
I want to thank you girls for brightening my day with all your cheerful laughing.
We can laugh more for you.
I'm calling with about the self-driving cars.
Yes, would you?
Because I'm going to give you another scenario.
Okay.
Now, I used to drive, but I lost my sight. I went blind 7 years ago. So I use like BART to go places now when I want to go somewhere.
Yeah, the bus. Mm-hmm.
It would be great to be able to just say, oh, I want to go here and jump in a car and go. But I think of like, okay, I say I'm going to the VA. I go to the VA a lot. All right, it parks in the parking lot, but where to park?
That's true. So are you
right?
Thinking, would the self-driving car know where to park?
Right. And where's the building? Is it to the left, straight ahead, from the back of the car?
So
it's great for sighted people. It would be great for people with visually impaired or blind, but, you know, it's still there's a lot of barriers there.
So that would be something that they would really have to think through, because then would you have to have parking spaces that are determined just for these cars? Mm-hmm. Would you get dropped off at the door and then the car park itself? Yeah, that's interesting. I'm wondering. I'd like to learn more about that, too. So you would you take one? Let's say that was the scenario, just for the sake of our conversation. Let's say the driverless car would pick you up, would drop you off at the door or the sidewalk,
uh-huh.
and then would go park itself. Would you feel comfortable taking a driverless car with nobody there beside you?
I think for me that would take a lot to get used to.
I'm with you.
It's just, I guess I'm used to somebody driving the vehicle and somebody there to talk to, but there's too many things that can go wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
It just feels weird, wouldn't it? Feels so weird.
Yes, it would.
Hey, thank you so much for calling. You have a wonderful day.
You too have a wonderful day as well, and everybody's doing a great job filling in for Dave.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Take care.
A good day.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It does feel so strange, but then again, I'm sitting here thinking, like, in the 1950s, the internet probably felt real strange,
That's true.
You know, and now it's so ingrained in our lives.
And now we have Alexa who talks to us, so when you're in the car, you could talk to Alexa.
Right.
Have an argument with Alexa.
Speaking of that, I actually saw, obviously, the Super Bowl is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
People were asking Alexa, who do you think's going to win? And she was, like, going off on this big thing. I mean, people were actually having conversations and yelling at Alexa.
Did she say who was going to win?
She did. She said it was the Philadelphia Eagles, and the person that asked her was a Patriots fan. So the person said, "You're wrong, Alexa." And Alexa said, "No, I'm not," and spouted off some stats and blah, blah, blah. And the person said, "You're wrong, Alexa." So, yeah, they're arguing with Alexa.
And I've heard people do that. Not heard them in person, but I've heard stories that people argue with Alexa. And I'm like, do you understand you're arguing with the machine? just throwing that out there. I'm just, it's kind of like when we argue with our pets, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pet's looking at you like, where's my treat?
Right.
And you
don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're saying.
You're like, I told you to go lay down. Okay. Just doesn't work that way. But whatever. So we got about 4 minutes left. We're going to take a break. I didn't even check our commercial load. We're just talking. Do we need to really play commercials? All right. My boss said, okay. My boss
he
is calling
yes.
now. All right. So we'll take a break in just a minute. We'll be back and we're going to be talking about the chili cook-off. We also have the Star Hill Winery, which of course, you know, we have the wine festival.
Yes, I'll be there.
You and I will both be there. And I say doing great things. I typically get the food table. Love the food
you
table.
You love the food table.
I love the food table. Because it's food,
of course,
right there.
Of course.
But we got a lot of wineries that have been calling in, and I think we have 11. Did I count that right?
I think so.
So we have 11 wineries that will be there, specialty businesses, and of course, a great atmosphere. It's always a fun time.
Fun.
I checked the weather the other day. It's always the variable. It's supposed to be cloudy, 52-ish.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Raining. But I say that's the perfect day because you want to get out because it's 52-ish.
Right.
But then you don't have anything to do because
it's
raining.
Yeah, you're not going to be outside. True.
So,
I like that.
You know, there you go. We got it.
There you go.
Take care for you. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you, Kayla, for coming in.
Absolutely.
For this
Thanks
half
for having
hour.
Me.
Have a great day. We'll be back after this. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey. I just want to take a moment to talk about our great friends at St. Vincent de Paul. Every day, a sale at St. Vincent de Paul, the thrift store at the Greater Butler Mart. Store hours are between 9 and 7 p.m. Listen to this, 50% off of different clothing. Monday, Senior Day, Kids Day on Tuesday, Ladies Day Wednesday, Upscale Day. So 50% off on different clothing on those particular days. On Thursdays with the Upscale Day, you got 10% off furniture that's been on the floor for at least 10 days. Friday, you got Men's Day, back to that 50% off again. You got clothes, shoes, specials on electronics on Men's Day as well. Saturday, you got the sale tag of the week. So if you have a buck, you can go get some clothes. You got the sale tag rack, only 99 cents. You also have the offer of buy one, get the second item for 49 cents. At St. Vincent de Paul, every day a sale day. Again, store hours at the Greater Butler Mart, between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Shipping things yourself can be extremely complex. You buy the box, you make sure it's secure, and then you got to tape it, then lug it into the car, to the post office. Ugh. Make life easier. Take it to Go and Postal. In between Villa Grande and Kings on Newcastle Road, Go and Postal takes care of all of that for you. And hey, they've got Valentine's Day cards as well, local honey, and lottery tickets. It's just a downright good place to go. Go and Postal, 140 Shockey Lane in Butler, if you got to plug it into the GPS, your friendly neighborhood shipping store.
Consistency is a key ingredient to the success of any radio advertising campaign. Whether you're a traditional retailer, doctor, lawyer, or carpet cleaner, a well-developed commercial stating your unique selling position will keep you in the consumer's mind for when they need your product or service. As a media consultant at Butler Radio Network, it is my job to help you fine-tune your message and schedule it with the correct frequency on the right media platform so that you reach your target audience. Let Butler Radio Network help put your business on a path to success. To learn more, call us at 724-283-1500 or visit our website at butlerradio.com and click on Advertise. I'm Lisa Marie Kendrick, and I love what we do.
And I will repeat it. Ooh, we're back already. That's how it goes, right? Time flies when you're having fun. All right, Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. And by the way, we were talking about that wine festival on Saturday. If you want your tickets early, you can get those. You can go online to either butlerradio.com or you go WISR680.com or you just give us a call. We have them here, 283-1500. And right now, those tickets will save you a few dollars. They're $20 now. They'll cost you $25 at the door on Saturday, but you have a couple of different sessions, so feel free and get online and check that out. That is going to be our next topic at 1:30. We're going to talk to Star Hill Winery, and they're going to be one of the many wines that come, but they have a different kind of wine. So it's, well, some of their wine is not made out of grapes. Figure that out for the next 30 minutes. All right, so we will talk about that at 1:30, and we'll explain how that's all done. Right now, let's change from wine to food, because who doesn't like to talk about food, right? That's our second favorite thing, right? It's the 11th annual Chili Cook-Off, and Susan Race is here with us, and also Carol Landis is with us. Of course, Carol, you go to St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
Thank you both, ladies, for coming in.
Thank you.
So where are the samples? No, I'm just kidding. No, we're going to have a taste test, but that's all right. So this is the 11th annual cook-off. Carol, can you imagine that it's been 11 years already?
I can. It just seems like I've been doing it 3 or 4 years, and it just seems like it was yesterday when we started doing this. But we have so much fun doing it. We just keep going and going.
Absolutely.
And working with the spay neuter group, they're such a great group to work with. And we just have this down to a science, I think.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Now, how many individuals or chefs, can you call them, are we going to have that you're going to have? How many brands, different kinds of chili will you have?
We are going to have 7.
Okay.
Now, we have 3 past winners who are competing against each other as well. And we also have 2 new groups. So we're really excited. We have something new to offer the group. So it's not just the same old, same old. So we have the hospital, we have Chili's, Eaton Park, Natilli's, Fairground Market, King's, and Slippery Rock University.
So who are the new ones? Are those all new?
No. King's is new this year,
okay.
And Slippery Rock University is new.
Wow. So that's good stuff, because you have a lot of great people who are making some great food at those locations.
Absolutely.
So who are your past winners that will be there?
Butler Hospital, Fairground Market, and the Tillys.
And the Tillys. I don't know which one I like best. Who took home the prize last year? Do you remember?
Butler Memorial Hospital
did. Okay. Do we have a reigning champion over 11 years? Is there someone who's won over and over and over again?
The hospital and Fairground Market have run pretty close. I think the hospital has won more frequently, but they have been very tough competitors, the two of them.
So this is going to be.
And then Natilly's came in 2 years ago and took it. So we're, you know, they had a great chili too, and all of the chili. So we're just excited to have two new ones as part of it.
It's amazing. I'm sorry, Carol, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's amazing to me. I've gone to different chili cook-offs on how many different varieties of chili are made.
Absolutely. Everyone is different, and everyone has their trade thing that they like to do, and it's just a matter of the preference of the people coming. So everybody will get a sample of each chili, and then you vote for your favorite by going back to get your main serving of chili. You get another additional large serving of chili when you vote for your best.
Okay, so you have one price. You get your bowl, or however you're going to dish it out. But I get to taste each one of them, and then I pick my favorite, and I get my big bowl of that.
Yes.
That's a nice system to have, because in other places I've gone, you get like two or three tastes, where then how do you know what the rest tastes like?
No, you
so
get
that's a great idea.
Absolutely. And then we serve cornbread with that, and we serve a beverage with that. So it's, for people who haven't been there, it is a full meal. I can't eat all my samples and still eat a bowl of chili because it's just way too much. So,
But I can eat about five cornbreads.
I know, I'm right there with you, right?
So good. Cornbread's delicious.
That cornbread is delicious. Oh, my. And who makes the cornbread? Do you all make it at the church?
Yeah, my husband and I do it on Friday.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. So this is Carol's cornbread.
Well, kind of. I bake it. I don't make the mix.
Oh, okay.
I do bake it, but that's okay. It's good.
For everybody the day, we can call it Carol's cornbread.
There you
go. Yeah, why not? So this is going to be at St. Andrew's.
Correct.
Right? And, of course, on Jefferson Street, East Jefferson. And this will be on Saturday between 5 and 7.
Correct.
And so what kind of crowd do you typically get? Because this is now 11 years. A lot of people already know this is coming up this weekend.
Weather is always the challenging factor. And I think it's going to be good this weekend because it's going to be 50 during the day and maybe down to 36 at night. So it's going to be nice. So we're expecting a good-sized crowd. We might get a couple hundred people, or 150 probably is a good guess.
I say it's a perfect weather day because it's not snowing, so you're not going to slide anywhere.
Right.
And you want to get out of the house because at this point you've been stuck in your house for winter unless you've gone here and there for shopping and work. But otherwise, it's perfect because then you don't have to cook. You don't have to prepare anything.
Right.
You just go and enjoy. So Saturday, January 27th at St. Andrew's, 5 to 7 p.m., it's the 11th annual chili cook-off. And this is, does it always benefit the spay and neuter program? Is this, how many years have you been associated with this?
It's been coupled the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's a really great group. We have members of the church that are members of Operation Spay Neuter. And the groups work well together, and it just really works well. I mean, it's been a great coupling.
I'm going to have you move up just slightly there and tell me what your group does. And are you year-round? And just give us a glimpse into your organization.
Well, Operation Spay-Neuter is year-round, but the actual Spay-Neuter clinics run from April through October. And they're usually 2 a month, and they're held on the Animal Friends mobile surgery van. But in between those times and the rest of the year, surgeries can be done at Animal Friends by contacting Operation Spay-Neuter and setting up those appointments.
How important is it? Just remind people how important it is to get an animal spayed or neutered.
Oh, my. I don't remember what the statistics are, but one female cat and her offspring can create, like, I think it's 11,000 cats over their lifetime. It might be even higher than that. A dog can get pregnant at 5 months of age. A cat can get pregnant at 4 months of age. And the average number of puppies per litter is 6 to 10, and kittens is 5. So you can imagine how quickly the population can grow with that. And it's so sad, but only 20% of kittens find a lifelong home with you know, a forever home. Interestingly enough, siblings and parents can and will breed with each other. So if you start with a brother and sister and they're not spayed and neutered, pretty soon you can have a colony, and a lot of health problems ensue with that.
And even if you don't have a cat right now or a dog right now and you think, well, what does it really matter to me? You can still be an individual who finds a cat. And what you're describing right there, you could then have a problem in your backyard, because if you don't help out in that way, then, or at least call someone to help out in that way, then you could have that issue that you are facing.
Exactly right. We get a lot of calls from people that start out with, oh, a stray showed up and she was pregnant and she had kittens. Well, then two of them had kittens, and pretty soon they have 30 or 40 cats. And they say, well, they're not my cats. But once they start feeding them, the cats stay, it becomes a real problem. And, who else is going to deal with it?
Do cats know where home is, or do they just travel to a new home and that's where they stay?
Well, I think cats are creatures of habit.
Okay.
So if they find a place that works for them, they will keep coming back.
Especially if there's a human there being able to give food and water. And yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of places out there that will help. And your organization, Operation Spay and Neuter, is what it's called. And so you do great work, and so thank you very much for being a part of this.
Well, thank you.
Again this year. Kara, I want to ask you a little bit about what we're going to expect at the Chili Cook-Off. There are baskets, gift certificates, aside from the chili.
There are a lot of things that are going on. When they come in, of course, the primary thing is they'll get their chili. But we have many sponsors who have donated baskets, and these are around Butler. And we certainly appreciate their support. So you can buy a ticket and win some great prizes. We also have a bake sale. The ladies at the church are great bakers. And we have a gentleman or two that also loves to bake. And everybody knows what's good, and they come in for their favorite cookies and or maybe banana bread or pumpkin bread or something like that. So that will be going on at additional costs.
The cookie walk we had in December, we had people coming in and saying, this is the best cookie walk. So we're known for our
baked goods.
It was
a big cookie walk, too, yeah.
Yes. We're known for our baked goods. They're pretty yummy.
And they go fast. We were sold out at the cookie walk so early. We were like, and everybody made cookies. There were, if you were there at the beginning, there were so many cookies. But because we're so popular, they were buying them by the dozens.
Wow. And so now it may be different varieties, but you still got the same bakers.
Right.
We
and
do.
That says something. So yeah.
Cornbread, baked goods, right up my alley.
Really? And chili to boot, right?
Yeah, right, right.
We weren't going to eat chili,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's okay. But yeah, I could go on cornbread and cookies. That would be fabulous. So we have some baskets and auctions. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And we're going to have chips and dips on the table. So the people are still hungry, which I find very hard to believe. There's going to be chips and dips so they can enjoy themselves. And I think the biggest thing we like about it is the camaraderie.
Yeah, the friendship
camaraderie,
and the conversation.
Right? When people come, they don't leave.
Yeah.
They're there all night. So, you know, we really plan for several people because, you know, normally when you have an event like that, you expect them to come and go and come and go, but they don't. They enjoy
it's like
themselves.
Christmas dinner. You
absolutely.
Know, people just come and they stay and they won't leave
right.
your house. I know.
And there's friendly discussion, too, at the tables as you walk around, people trying to convince their person they're sitting with of, oh, pick number one or pick number three. I like that. And it's just funny to hear people.
A little egging on there.
Yes. Right.
All in good fun. All
right.
For a good purpose, too. Right. So tell us how much this is going to cost this year.
If you get your tickets pre-sale, they're $6. And if people are listening and they're just hearing about the Chili Cook-Off and want to come, if you call the church office and leave a reservation, you can still get the $6 fee. At the door, it's a $10 fee.
Okay. Still not bad for an entire, the baked goods. We'll just say right there, the baked goods. But everything. I mean, that really seriously isn't a bad price.
Right.
At all. You go out and you're, and here you don't have to leave a tip. You could, right? Give it to the church.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, at restaurants, you have to go out and give a tip. And so that's a very good price to be able to get great food.
And, you know, it's children preschool and under are free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have some toddlers, because we know they're not going to eat the volume of chicken or turkey or chili. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's
I'm
all right.
thinking because some people put chicken in it and a variety of kinds of meat. So it's as varied as it can be. But so it makes a nice family event, and they can come and afford it and enjoy it.
Can you describe just a couple of them? Because as you say, there's chicken in it. My first reaction was, I've never done that.
Yeah. Well, some have had chicken. Some have had different kinds of beans. We've had a vegetarian with all different kinds of beans, not just the traditional kidney beans that most people think and use at home. They've used the navy beans and so forth. So, and some have a spicier taste. Some have a more mild taste. I mean, everyone is totally different.
Hmm. That's what I love. Now, do people give up their recipes? Because I know that's hard for some individuals.
Well, we've never given out recipes only because, you know, we're just getting chili.
Yeah.
And they all make it their own way. And I don't know if I've never asked them to share
their
recipes.
It's part of the fun. It's part of the fun, just tasting what everybody has. Do you have a favorite?
I always go between Butler Hospital and Fairground Market.
Okay. And to the Blue Ribbons.
They're very close, but I'm anxious to try the two new ones. They might upset the apple cart
this
year.
You never know. How about you?
We should include sorbet so we could cleanse our palate between chili tasting.
Anything you want to add to my meal is fabulous. All right. So go ahead. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I tend to go between Butler Memorial Hospital and Fairground. You know, you kind of go through and set some aside and keep going back and forth between two. It's like, oh, I like this one better. I like this one better. But I usually pick between those two as well.
Yeah. Are they sweeter? Are they darker? Are they...
They're not as
tomato
spicy.
Based. Okay.
Yeah, they're less spicy.
Okay.
They're not overly sweet. They just have very mild flavors.
Okay.
But they're
and,
all good. They're all good.
That is interesting. When we did that here, just for an in-house kind of fun thing to do, we all brought in chili on a different Friday. And it was interesting how the aftertaste would hit. And they were good. It was just they all had a different flavor to them and a little different aftertaste. And some were sweet. Some were a little... blander, if you will, and more tomato-based. And so it was just very interesting to be able to go through this. You know, Carol, I want to take a moment, though, and ask you about the church, because you all are very involved in the community, not only baking cookies and giving chili, but you have a local hunger ministry as well.
Absolutely. We serve the community dinner every Wednesday night out of our church. St. Andrew does the first Wednesdays, and then other Presbyterian churches in the area do the following Wednesdays. So we take turns with that, and that's a big ministry and so important. And we also do Sunday lunches. And the churches, our church does two Sundays a month, and then two other churches help us with the other two Sundays. So it's something that we do every day of the year, every Sunday of the year. So there's always food available for people who are in need or need, you know, just a nice hot meal.
And is that a free meal for folks?
That is a free meal for those folks. Yeah. And the churches, we have funds, and that's part of why we do this kind of fundraising, is to supplement those kinds of programs, because it is ongoing and such a need. And it varies with the numbers throughout the month. At the beginning of the month, people have received checks and are more monetarily set. By the end of the month, particularly a long month where there might be five Wednesdays or 5 weeks, then they're really getting to the point that they need additional supplements.
And I would assume during the holiday season is a rough season as well, because it's financially strapped.
Right. And we want them to spend their money on their families and children.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this gives them a great opportunity. And it's really fun. I participate in that and have for several years now. And it's very fun to interact with the groups, and they really appreciate it. And that's what makes it so nice, is they appreciate what we're doing for them.
If there's someone outside of your church that would like to be involved, can they get their own church involved? Would they contact your church to see what areas of help you need?
Yes, we've had people call and ask for help. And now there several churches do the other nights. There's a service Monday through Friday. Our church does Wednesday. Okay. So I know any of the churches would like opportunity if you want to volunteer, because on any given day, and particularly with flu season, you know, you always can use somebody to help.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much smoother and easier for everybody.
But absolutely.
Yes, we've had people ask.
Yeah. We're just, if you're just joining us, folks, we're talking about the Chili Cook-Off, but also about St. Andrews and, of course, the Operation Spay Neuter program, or the organization. Carol here, Susan here, and I want to switch back to what you do, Susan. And we were talking about cats there for a while, and we kind of went off in a different tangent. How about dogs? Do they cause as much of an issue as cats? They're a whole different ball game, and they don't seem to breed like cats do, but they can still cause issues, can't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Cats definitely outnumber dogs and are more prolific in having litters. But like I said, dogs can get pregnant at 5 months of age. You just wouldn't think that. And I've seen cats pregnant at 4 months of age, almost ready to deliver at 5 months of age. It's just like they look like a kitten themselves. But if you go to shelters, large black dogs, you know, your pit bull mixes, your Rottie mixes, beagles, labs, there's just so many that are unwanted, and so many animals. I think the number was 5 million excess dogs and cats will be killed in U.S. shelters this year, and millions more are homeless. So, but OSN is also looking for volunteers to help with their cat clinics. That's a biggie. And no experience is necessary. They'll show you everything that you need to do for them. It's relatively easy to volunteer for those. And they also need help in raising funds. Volunteers can assist by making or sewing things for craft shows and for manning tables at bazaars and craft shows and helping with the annual bingo. So OSN's always looking for volunteers.
Is there a financial solution for someone who doesn't have the finances, who may find a cat or may have a dog that they need to get spayed or neutered?
Yep, the cost of surgeries and vaccination is based on income and can be determined, like how OSN will help, can be determined by calling and speaking with them. And if the veterinarian requires an exam or vaccines before the surgery, Operation Spay Neuter can also help with that. And then there are special rates available for individuals that are managing cat colonies. Like you said, one cat shows up and they have a litter and you end up with 30 cats. Or there are people, I know of one lady that went into Homewood and worked with all the different cat colonies in there and helped reduce the population. But humane traps, that's another thing. They have those available to help trap the feral cats, which some people don't know what ferals are. Ferals are the wild cats that if you see, they bolt as soon as they see
a
human.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and they can help you figure out a way to catch the cat, because some of them are pretty trap savvy.
Oh, okay.
But
they figured this out.
There's a trick to it, yes.
So mm-hmm. Then staying on the cat issue for a moment, is it safe to bring a cat inside if you find a feral cat? Or should a feral cat just stay outside? What are they acclimated to? Or what's the best care there?
Well, I think it depends on how feral the cat is.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you have animals in your home that are part of your family, you definitely want to keep them separated. And, you know, in weather like this, I would personally bring the animal into my garage and make sure that it was heated, because they're going to be stressed. If you bring a feral cat in, they're stressed. You cover the cage, you know, keep them warm, give them food, water, and litter. But, yes.
Yeah. We brought in a cat a few years ago. Did not stick with us long. It passed away, you know, from whatever reasons. But it was with us for about a year or two. And I still chuckle to this day. I have a picture of this cat that it was a great cat. We didn't have any other dogs or cats in the house at the time. Would go underneath our Christmas tree and sleep with its head up and would make sure that it touched the tree. And I always wondered, I wonder if that's how it slept out in the wild, because that's what it was used to. And it was just it was cute, but it, yeah, very nice cat.
Well, being feral and being out in the wild, they have to be very aware of their surroundings. Gotcha. So the ears are up. They're always aware of what's going on.
Are they truly sleeping? I mean, because of that, awareness has to be at a peak.
Well, I'm sure that it's so stressful that their sleep is on a very different level than in the animal that's protected and cared for.
Yeah. All right. We have about 5 minutes left with you ladies, and I just want to make sure that we touch on... Susan, before we get off the topic of OSN, how do we get an appointment? Where do we call? How many days will we have to wait for the appointment? What's your suggestion on that?
Well, there is a website, operationspayneuter.org, and their phone numbers are 724-287-SPAY or 724-287-7729, and someone will be prompt in getting back to whoever calls.
All right. Now, back to the chili cook-off, and the reason why we're connecting the two, because, of course, OSN, the beneficiary, again this year, of the 11th annual chili cook-off. That's happening at St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church. If you've done this in the past, you go, oh, that's already this weekend. So, yeah, it is. It's 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Of course, East Jefferson Street, St. Andrew's. And great chefs. I'm calling it Carol's Cornbread. So I want to see how many people come up to you, Carol, and say, where's Carol's Cornbread? And so it's Carol's Cornbread. And, of course, the great cookies that we knew well from last month
right.
And the great bakers that were making all those cookies for your cookie walk. So when you're at the end of this, will you have only one winner, or will you have, like, a gold, silver? Are we having an Olympic medal stand?
No, we have one winner.
All right, the blue ribbon.
And we have, it was designed from the very beginning, a plaque-type thing that will have the winner's name on it, and we simply pass that from winner to winner. And it's updated every year and given out.
Seems like a lot of fun even for, I'll call them the chefs, but the folks who make the chili. Sounds
yes.
like they have a lot of fun doing this.
They do. And I think that stands for why we have so many repeat entries, because they enjoy it and they like supporting the community. And that's the big thing. And we have just are so happy that they're willing to do it. And it's always exciting to see. Sometimes they have changed their chili within their organization over time, but they come back again because it's very close, and it's amazing how close it is.
Yes, I can imagine.
We have been as little as 5-1 vote, like one vote shifted the winner. So it's a very tight contest. And so that's why we like people to come in and really give them some competition.
Have you ever had a tie?
No.
No, never a tie.
No, we came within
one,
but never a tie.
Whoa, yeah, Susan.
I think if I were submitting chili, I would get a bunch of tickets and sell them to my customers.
Oh, there's an idea. Is anyone listening?
Idea.
Hello, is this thing on? Yeah.
Yes. Well, I do know that the one gentleman that makes chili comes to support his chili.
Absolutely.
So everybody else can do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So a fun evening. I don't want to say a fun whole day, but it'll be a day's worth of preparation. And do you find a lot of your folks who make the chili, have they been doing this for years? I know, of course, a couple of the businesses would have been, you know, doing this for years. But or is it something an individual just picked up and thought, I'm going to try this?
Yeah. We, one year, we did do some individuals just as we were getting started. But we found that the businesses are so consistent. And I think these businesses have done both. Sometimes they have done this at their restaurant or place of business for many years, and others like, I'd like to try that this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've just gotten involved and stayed with it.
And it's great feedback for them as well.
Correct.
Like you said, if they have to change something or somebody may say, oh, that's a little too spicy, they could listen to the public that way too.
Right.
And be able
right.
to adjust what they would like to adjust or just be proud that they won the blue ribbon.
Absolutely.
And just say, hey, we're the best. All
well,
right. Yeah, go ahead.
We think they're all winners because they're willing to participate.
That's right. So a big thank you to everybody who is going to make the chili, all the businesses, and all of those who donated for the gift baskets as well. So just one more time very quickly, it's the 11th Annual Chili Cook-Off, and it's Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m., St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church, of course, East Jefferson Street. And it's $6 now, $10 at the door, And you can just call St. Andrews if you want the tickets Monday through Friday. Y'all have Friday off. Or no, Monday through Thursday. You have Friday off. Okay. And then 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. would be the time you'd want to call. The phone number is 724-287-4777. 724-287-4777. Susan, Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. All right, so we're switching from food to wine. We will do that in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the wine festival, and we'll talk to Star Hill Winery. Up next, I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. It's that time of year. Sniffles, coughing, chills, and everything else that comes with cold and flu season. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, they want to get you feeling better as soon as possible. Customer service is their number one priority, so you will have your prescription in a matter of minutes and be on your way to feeling better fast. Stop by your locally owned Institute Hill Pharmacy at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or check them out on Facebook. And don't forget, Institute Hill Pharmacy has great 99-cent greeting cards, retailer gift cards, and specialty gifts for all occasions. Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Butler County's only individually owned executive level fitness and chiropractic center. You'll enjoy the clean, private, unintimidating atmosphere and appreciate the support of full-time professional staff there to assist you with your workout routine on Applewood's safe and modern equipment. Why not improve your general well-being at Applewood, just 3 miles from Butler on Thornapple Drive. Call 724-283-0518 or visit applewoodchiro.com.
Small things can have a big impact. Join the Butler Radio Network as we collect warm, new socks for our Socks for Seniors campaign. Throughout the month of January, we'll be collecting socks that will then be distributed to local seniors. Over the years, we've seen firsthand how the gift of a simple pair of socks has brightened the day of many seniors in the Butler area. Help us warm the feet and hearts of our elderly neighbors during the cold winter months. Socks of all types, styles, and colors can be dropped off at the Butler Network Studios on Pillow Street until January 31st. Attention Alexa users, did you know you can listen to WISR through your Amazon Echo? That's right. Alexa, play WISR.
Playing WISR.
WISR is proud to provide you with the music you love on the devices you use. Radio, computer, tablet, smartphone, and now your Amazon Alexa-enabled device. WISR, we're everywhere you are. Just ask Alexa.
Welcome back. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, just about 132 this afternoon. Still in the 30s, and we're just going to have to deal with that for a couple of days. Although, by the time we hit Saturday, it should be about, I don't know, 50, 51, 52. If we had an auction, I'd tell you to go higher, but I think that's about as much as we can go right now. But still, I call it the perfect day for a wine festival because everybody's been in their house. You just want to get out and do something. It's not going to be snowing, so you're not going to slide anywhere. And so what do? You get out and come to the wine festival. Of course, our festival is on January 27th. It is Saturday. And you got great wine. You got an elegant atmosphere at the Butler Days Inn. Specialty businesses will be there too, because you got vendors you can purchase from. So, and then, if yes, you got the wineries you can purchase from. We're going to talk to one here in just a moment. Two different sessions. So you'll have a 2 to 5, you'll have a 6 to 9. And so any one of those sessions, or either one, I should say, you can go to, you can get tickets at the door. Now, if you want to save yourself some money, then you would get your tickets early. You can call us, go on our websites, and you can get your tickets early. If you want to spend $25, you would do that at the door. So it's up to you. Whatever you want to do is good for us, and we just want to make it easy on you. Now, the reason I would save myself money is then I'd go to the wineries and spend my money. So either way, I'm giving money out. So that's one way that you could do it. One of the great wineries that we have, I should say coming back, I can't even say first year, but Star Hill Winery. And Ken Starr is with me right now. Ken, how you doing?
Doing great. It's always a pleasure talking on the radio about the wine fest coming up. And as you know, one of the largest, one of the best ones in the Butler area. So make sure everyone come on out and taste and purchase some Pennsylvania wines.
It is always great to have you, too, but I want to ask you about Star Hill. I know I talked to your dad earlier today, too, in the family business, but how did you all get interested in wine?
Well, you know, the story, you know, all wineries, most wineries all start from a hobby, so they either, you know, continue as a hobby or they go to the next level, and my father started making wine with his dad in the 50s. And in the late 50s, then he was in the Air Force, stationed in Germany, saw how they made wine over there, and where I was born, over in Germany in the 60s. And when he got out, he came back home to the States and started making some wine. And in 1967, him and his brother made some wine. We have the original bottles of the wine still in it at the winery. So So a little bit of a story on the winery itself. And then in our main business was the financial service business. And in the late 80s, early 90s, we bought about 14 acres off a client of ours and planted 12 vines to see if they would grow. Now we have 3,000 of them, and we have five locations, and so it's grown quite a bit.
Now, are you considered central PA? Because I know you're a little on the map. If you'd go east, you're a little east, but you're not quite central. But are you considered central?
Yeah, if you jump on 80 from Butler and head east, we're exit 120, and we're about eight miles off the exit. We travel all over the state of Pennsylvania doing wine festivals, and it's amazing how many different towns that aren't really in the central Pennsylvania say they're central Pennsylvania. So I guess it's a big area.
Yeah, I guess it is. And you may be redistrict, so you never know, right?
That's right.
That's right. So so tell us about some of your wines, because you have quite the wine list. Do you have a favorite? Have you tried out some blends that you kind of went, no, that doesn't work? And then some that you said, yeah, this is a winner.
Well, you know, through the years, right now we have close to almost 40 different types. From your dry reds, Cabernets, Merlots, Chianti, Lambrusco, to our sweet wine, semi-sweet, all the way to peach, pear, fruit wines and such. So this Saturday, actually, we're going to be releasing one of our newer wines one of our benefit wines that will be for actually Penn State, DuBois campus. I know there's a lot of pitch folks down that way, but we're raising money for the athletic department. Each branch location doesn't get the funding like the main campus does. So we've done this probably maybe 5 years or so. And that'll be a wine called Peeled. And it's an orange with just a hint of chocolate blend.
Now, how do
that'll be a fun wine.
Yeah, it is. How do you get the chocolate, first of all, to be able to blend into wine? But then how do you get the flavors just right, that you don't get too much chocolate or too much of the other flavor?
Well, and that's a good question, because for years people said, oh, you guys going to do a chocolate wine? We said, no, I don't know. We're not going to do it. I mean, all the chocolate wines are too chocolatey. Maybe they don't taste right, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And so for a long time we didn't. And then my son actually is now the winemaker, which would be the fourth generation. And about maybe 4 years ago, most all wineries will send their wines out to competitions, and when we first started, we did that also, and then we decided, well, you know, the real judge of the wine is the consumer. It's nice to get some medals here and there, and so for a while we didn't send anything out. And then when my son started in, he goes, you know, maybe we should send some wines out to the competition. And he did a nice blend. We called it Guilty Pleasure, and it was a raspberry chocolate blend. And we sent it out to competition, which actually was in Vermont. And it came back. It was actually a Pennsylvania competition, but they send the wines out to another area. It won the Governor's Cup, Best of Show, gold medal. And there's only three Governor's Cups handed out in the whole state of Pennsylvania. So they best sweet wine, best fruit wine, which we got, and best dry.
So you got all three of them.
Yeah. So it was a raspberry with a light hint of chocolate. So it's not really a real chocolate. Very, very, very mild taste. But the balance is what's the big issue. You know, you want to make sure that the wine is balanced good. It's not oversweet. It's not under. It's, you know, just right. And that just takes some time and some tasting, I guess, to really get to where you want to be.
Now, that winner for the Governor's Cup, was that the Guilty Pleasure, or was that a different one?
Correct.
Oh, yep. That is. Is that coming on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll bring it Saturday, yep.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Is there a particular wine that you usually sell out of when you come here?
Well, the Guilty Pleasure, we sold a lot of it last year. The new pear that we have out, we sell a ton of it. The peach is always a good seller. I think the new peel is going to be a winner. If I'm not mistaken, I think we're also bringing the other wine we did for Du Bois. It's called Double Play, and it was a raspberry Concord blend. So it has really a unique flavor, and we've been selling it out at all the shows.
And let me just ask this one more, and then we'll move on from the chocolate flavors. But so is the chocolate-induced flavors, is it a light wine still consistency, the liquid, or is it a little thicker?
No, it's a wine consistency. It's not like a syrup by any means. You know, are you talking about the wine itself?
Yeah, the liquid.
Yeah, so the wine itself is you know, we infuse that with a natural orange citrus flavor, and same with the chocolate. We use a white chocolate for that, and it seems to be the best combination that we've done. We've done a lot of different combinations. It seems to work well.
All right, so I'm going to switch this question over to oak flavors, because when you talk about your sweet wines, I can understand how you'd get a pineapple or a cherry or a raspberry, or I can understand the fruit. I can picture that. But I don't understand how you have some, like there's a Merlot in front of me with a berry spice in it. You have a hint of oak, but then you go down on your list and you have a Cabernet Sauvignon that has a non-oak flavor. So how do you get oak flavor in there, and then how do you have the difference with some oak and some non-oak?
Sure. Well, most all the varietals, you know, are the name of the grape, unless it's a blend of some nature. So, of course, the Cabernet Sauvignon is the name of the grape. Just like a Merlot, just like a Chardonnay, just like a Dornfelder, Lemberger, all names of grapes. So when, in our case, when we have a wine that has an oak tannin flavor to it, we actually use an oak chip as opposed to an oak barrel. And for us, we get almost the identical flavor of a barrel. But we can monitor the flavor a lot more easily than the barrel. So what happens usually in a barrel, oak barrel at a winery, they may have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever, of, say, a Cabernet that's being aged in the oak barrel. So when bottling time comes, what usually happens, and not all cases, but in most of the case, 90-some percent of the time, is they'll take all that wine in those oak barrels and mix them all together in a stainless steel tank and then bottle it from there, because it's difficult to bottle each individual, oak barrel. Now, I have seen that some wineries will do that individually and mark each bottle, you know, barrel 1 of 12 or whatever it may be, and that's specific. But what happens when they mix them all together, now they get a consistent taste of the wine. So So what we do is we'll use an oak chip where we can monitor that flavor of the wine. So if we find that, hey, you know what, I think it's tasting pretty good, or maybe it should be in there a little bit longer. We can, you know, taste that, leave that in longer. It's similar to an oak barrel type flavor. But we can blend those oak flavors a lot more simplistic in that aspect as opposed to an oak barrel where you're just tasting the oak in that barrel.
Interesting.
If that
it
makes
is.
Any sense.
Yeah, it yeah. does. It's just intriguing because it's one of those industries that I like the product. I just don't know how you do it. You know, I like the end result.
Yeah, but, right, there you go.
Yeah. So Ken Starr with us with Star Hill Winery. With us because, of course, we have the wine festival at the end of the week on Saturday at the Butler Days Inn. Tickets are available. So if you want to save yourself a couple of dollars and then put that money back into the wine that you're buying, fine. $20 now, $25 at the door if they're not sold out. So you just check with us. Call us, 283-1500, and you can get tickets or on one of our websites, butlerradio.com and WISR 680 AM. Well, actually, 680.com. That's how you'd end that one if you're going online. So, Ken, and yet another whole different question. I want to ask why the temperature difference when they're served between white and red. And the reason I mm-hmm. ask this is because I was at some banquet somewhere. I can't even remember now. It was a couple of years ago. And when they put the white out, I do believe, if I'm correct, it was the white that was cold and the red that was room temperature. Is there a mm-hmm. reason behind that?
All right. So most sweet wines are chilled in the proper way of holding the glass. So the chilled glass is by the stem. Most dry reds, of course, are room temperature. And there's some... reason being is, sometimes when the wine is chilled, right, it's more of a masked flavor you're getting because, you know, you do have that, the coldness of the wine and so on and so forth. Whereas some wine that's at room temperature, your tongue can now taste more of what the wine flavor and style is all about. So when you hold the glass of a dry wine, you're supposed to hold it by the glass or the glass itself, not by the stem.
Okay.
When you drink it. Now, that being said, is that, you know, it used to be, you know, we were real proper in what we had. You know, white wines you drink with, or you eat with pork, you eat with chicken and so on and so forth. Red, you know, with steaks and red meats and so on and so forth. That's true. But in today, it's more like, well, if you like it, you'll drink it with whatever you're eating it with, and as long as it's, you know, as long as you like that wine with whatever meal you're eating, it's fine. You know, when you get in the California and you get in some other regions of the world, that changes. But in the United States, what's 60 to 70% of the wines sold nationally are sweet to semi-sweet wine. So, which means 30%ers are buying the dry wines. So what you do have is you have the dry wine drinkers telling the sweet wine drinkers what the best wines are.
Yeah.
But it's not the dry wine drinkers keeping the doors open, it's the sweet wine drinkers. You're right? So you have,
so on,
you'll say, oh, 1985, blah, 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 Cabernet from the Jingjiang region of whatever it may be is the best wine, you know, so on and so forth. Which is probably true, very much true. But again, when you look at the sales on a national level, it's not a majority dry wine drinkers. It's on the sweet side.
So
now,
especially in
Pennsylvania, it's that way.
Well, that's what I was going to ask this question in this way. Then, is there more sweet wine coming out of PA than dry versus California? Is it flipped, or is it just a matter of preference?
I think as time goes on and as the region of Pennsylvania wines gets a bit larger and so on and so forth, you'll find that those sweet wine drinkers will transition to the semi and dry wine drinkers. That's the way the trend goes. You know, you always find a dry wine drinker will always drink a sweet wine, but you'll never get a sweet wine drinker drinking dry, right? They'll drink that dry and say, oh, man, don't give me that bitter stuff. Don't give me that, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because they just haven't. You know, where dry wine drinkers actually tasting what the grapes should taste like, right?
Interesting.
So there's no sweetness to it. They're tasting the flavors. They're tasting the uniqueness of that wine. Where a sweet wine drinker is meant to drink the wine right away. It's not meant to age like a dry red. So it's a little bit different. But I do think that in Pennsylvania, I think that trend will change, and it's starting to, but very, very slowly.
Let me ask your advice about this weekend, because, of course, you've been here before. Folks, if you've never been to our wine festival.
I think since day one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, and folks, if this is your first year, of course, it's a wine festival. You can go around and taste, you know, many different wines. So, Ken, my question for you is, in this kind of scenario where you have a lot of wine being tasted, how can we still taste the value of the wine by the time we're in to like an hour and a half in and we've tasted a bunch of wine? How can we still clear the palate? Can we still taste that richness?
Well, I think some, I think you'll find that a majority, you'll have, in some cases, most of the wineries will bring some of their dry specialty wines with them. Majority will be the sweet because, again, 70% of those people coming in the door will be all sweet wine drinkers, you know. So what usually happens is as they go from place to place, some of the wineries will have something to cleanse their palate, whether it's a cracker or something like that. And, of course, you know, you have many vendors around that are giving samples out also, so it's a good way to taste what the vendors are doing also. So that's a way to cleanse that palate in between maybe winery to winery is, grab a cracker, grab something to cleanse that palate, and then go from there. We have a lot of folks that actually, you know, like to make notes on which ones they have and which one they like and the difference between.
Yeah, between them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
and I always tell, like some folks will say, you know, it's the wine business is very similar. You know, what happens in Pennsylvania is most of the wineries are buying their juice or grape from Erie, right, or in Pennsylvania. So a majority of all those folks that are going to be there are all buying their, say, let's use an example, say Niagara grapes from one or two or three or four different growers in Erie. But they all taste different. And it's sort of like the scenario is you might make a meatloaf. Your mom made one. Your grandmother and your aunt made a meatloaf. They're all made out of the same stuff, but they all taste a little bit different. That's what makes the uniqueness of each winery. So you can go from place to place and say, oh, yeah, you know, I like that one, but maybe I like this one a little bit better. It's made out of the exact same thing, but it's just the way that they have developed their thought process and their process of winemaking is a little bit different from winery to winery.
Ken, I know you'll be here on Saturday. I want to ask you a couple more questions about wine, but I want to take a left-hand turn here for a moment because I want to ask about Star Hill Winery, something they're involved in, called the Fireball Run. This is something that's unique this year for you guys, and I just want you to explain it because I think it's such a unique aspect of what you guys are doing, or I should say your whole entire family is doing with this particular event.
Yeah, we have been a corporate sponsor for the Fireball Run. You can view the episodes at fireballrun.com and also on Amazon. So if you're an Amazon Prime or, you know, if you just want to type in Amazon, type in Fireball Run, you'll see all the different episodes. It's an adventure rally TV show. And it's, for folks who don't really know too much about it, it's similar to, like, the American Race, except it's filmed in real time, of course. And we, the 10th year anniversary actually was filmed at our winery. There's 8 destinations as teams throughout the United States. There's 40 teams. Each team then is assigned a missing child that has been missing in their city or town where they're from. And through in the 10 years, this last year they finished the 11th episode, but in the 10th year they found close to over 50-some missing kids. So each, as we travel from each destination, there's different tasks to do. Each task could be, for instance, we had so many different ones. So one local that we did, as the teams came from Ellicottville, New York, to our destination, which was the second one, we stopped at the Straw Brewery, which is one of 3 breweries in the nation that are still like a family-owned type, or 4th, that are still family-owned. but they've done a lot of different unique things. The previous year, they actually drove the lunar car, you know, the one that's, there's only two of them. One's on the moon that the astronauts drove up on the moon.
Yeah, the rover.
And the other one that had been in archives at Cape Canaveral ever since they went to the moon. And the participants actually drove that car. It was the first time that anyone's ever driven that rover. But they do a lot of unique things. A lot of the unique experiences they did are you can view on Amazon. And the 10th year episode, which should be coming out here in the next either this month or next month, you'll be able to view that on Amazon.com. So it's a kind of unique situation. We hosted the show at our winery, and which was kind of unique and real cool.
Star Hill Winery, of course, we could order from you, or could we not? Where are we in this state with ordering
Yeah, absolutely. All our wines are online, so you can view which ones you like. We just ask you to give us a call so we can let you know, because shipping's kind of different from where you're at. We can ship it right to you. Of course, now in the Butler area, you can just visit us right at the Walmart in Butler. We're located right there.
That's true,
Open every day. We're the first winery in the nation that was located inside of Walmart stores.
And you have a taste testing area where you can go taste test. So
yeah, I think they have a little seat or something. You can even sit down in there if you want.
Yeah, nice location in there, too. Yeah. So Star Hill Winery. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, again, the wines that you're bringing. This will be on Saturday, and we only have a couple minutes left, and then we'll see you on Saturday. So, again, just give us a rundown of what we can expect on Saturday from you.
Well, we're going to bring 10 different wines. I won't rattle them all off, but some of them are the ones we've had before. Of course, Almondo, which is an almond maraschino cherry flavor. That's a real popular one here in Butler. We'll be bringing the new peeled wine. That's an orange chocolate. We'll be bringing the Guilty Pleasure. Won the Governor's Cup. That was a big seller last year. What else do we bring? We're bringing the peach, Just Peachy. We're bringing a dry wine. I'm not sure which one there. We're just doing the menu now, but I believe we're bringing a Lambrusco. That's a new wine we just brought out. That'd be the dry one we're bringing. We're bringing the Sexy Biatches, which is a fun wine. That was another benefit wine we did for the Area Agency on Aging, and through the years we've donated over $20,000 to our local Area Agency on Aging. So we're bringing that one, and a few more good ones. So, yeah, make sure you stop by the booth and take a taste, and we look forward to everyone coming down. It'll be a great day, beautiful day for a wine fest.
It will be. StarHillWinery.com if you want to check them out online. Again, star with two R's, StarHillWinery.com. And so, you know what, Ken, it'll be nice to see you. I know it's been quite a few years already, but it's going to be nice to see you again.
It'll be a good time down there. And, you know, I was really tickled. I said, you know, Vicky said, well, you know, Mr. Malarkey's not going to be there. We're going to have Tracy Morgan interview you. And I said, oh, Tracy Morgan, like on Saturday Night Live.
Very different.
I said, oh, that would be really cool. You know, I haven't talked to Tracy in a while. And I thought, on the other hand, I thought, well, Tracy, let's see. You're going to be interviewing Ken Starr, the special prosecutor of the Clinton.
Yeah, right? How about that? That would be a good interview, wouldn't it? All right, Ken. Hey, you
great
take
combo.
Care. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'll take care. You take care, and I'll see you on Saturday, okay?
All right, Ken.
See you. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back. I'll give you the details again about the wine festival coming up on Saturday. I am Tracy Morgan. We'll be back right after this on WISR 680 AM.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 0404. The pick three, 469. 469. Pick 4 is 8055, and the pick 5, 21251. The wild ball for each of those is 4. And the treasure hunt, 7, 8, 21, 22, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
All right, Tracy Morgan back for Dave Malarkey today for It's Your Turn. Just about a minute or so left, and then, of course, we'll get the news at the top of the hour. So if you are going to come to the Wine Festival, or if you're thinking about it, I'm telling you, it's a great day. It really is. A couple of different sessions for you. You got 2 to 5, or you also got 6 to 9. The pre-sale tickets are on sale now. Our phone number, if you just want to pick them up, if you're out running around, it's 283-1500. So 283-1500. If you like to go online and purchase things online, butlerradio.com is one place. You also have WISR680.com. That's the other place. You have a lot of different wineries that are going to be coming this year, as we usually have a full house with this. An elegant atmosphere, Butler Days Inn, specialty businesses. Yes, we're going to have munchies. I think I'll be there at the table, so I'll see you at the munchie table. And then you get to enjoy the couple of hours that you have at the Butler County Wine Festival. So, again, details if you need all of that, again, it's butlerradio.com or WISR680.com. And I believe we still have one more winery to talk to this week. And so I believe we'll talk to them tomorrow, and I'll check the schedule on that tomorrow. But I will be back again tomorrow. So thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day. Tomorrow it'll be the two of us again. Or the hundreds of us again, or thousands of us again. It'll be the county and me. Here we go. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
It's up-to-the-minute local, national, and world news from WISR Butler, Pennsylvania, and the CBS Radio News Network.